I'm Emma, and this is The Creative Edition. Our mission is to inspire creatives to discover, grow, and own their brand. Hi, friends. Today, I'm doing an Emma Diaries episode, and I'm going to be chatting about surviving the postpartum / newborn period. So as I'm recording this, Braxton is 15 weeks old, which means he is over 3 months old now, which is just wild to me. And as I am getting more sleep, adjusting to a new schedule, creating a new rhythm with Braxton, I'm looking back at this postpartum newborn period and just thinking about the ways that I would have done things differently if I could go back and change, you know, at that time in my life. Obviously, I can't do that. And so I'm hoping that reflecting back on that time can help any new parents out there who are expecting, you know, a new baby to come, whether it may be their first, their second, or their third. Or hopefully this is helpful for anyone out there who wants to be a new parent in the near future. I really have found that when people were honest with me, I had two friends this year who had babies, and they were really honest with me with their experience. I found that their honesty actually prepared me so much better for, you know, like the actual labor and delivery process. But for me personally, I feel like I should have asked more questions around surviving the postpartum period because it was so hard for me. And so hopefully sharing a few tips with you guys about what I would have done differently can help you in the future. So let's just get into it. So I think one of the things that I'm very grateful that I did during the postpartum period ahead of time was schedule visits with a postpartum doula. I ended up having my postpartum doula visit me during the daytime. So she came for 4 hours the week we came home from the hospital, week 3 and week 6. I actually am really grateful that I, you know, lined up a postpartum doula. There's a great doula network in the greater Seattle area. If it is within your budget, I highly, highly recommend lining up a postpartum doula, even if you're not interested in having someone do nights. For me personally, having someone I could turn to who's worked with families for years, years and years, like literally it is their career to take care of babies. Someone that I could turn to who just like wasn't my mom and my mother-in-law to give their expertise in sleep, feeding, calming a baby down, you know, what's normal, what's not, like all of the above was so, so helpful to me. I cannot remember if I shared this story with you guys, friends, but Braxton, oh my goodness, Brandon and I came home from the hospital, and in the hospital, you know, they swaddle all the babies, and then we came home. And then we read like, oh, you shouldn't be swaddling babies because it's bad for their hips. And, you know, as a new parent, we were literally so sleep deprived on our week in the hospital. And, you know, you kind of just start to panic because you're like, wait, how do we put this baby down if we don't swaddle him? And so I ended up staying up all night with a newborn baby. Literally, I was a wreck, friends. Like I ended up like taking a nap from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then I woke up at 10 p.m. and I was like, okay, like I can watch Braxton. I'll put him down and Brandon, you can sleep. I really wanted Brandon to catch up on his sleep, which was probably a mistake. I should have just woken him up and asked him to help me. But I ended up like trying to put Braxton down all night long. And because of the startle reflex and he wasn't swaddled, it was not working. But luckily, my postpartum doula came that day. She showed us how to use the swaddle me blankets to like swaddle him and keep his hips free. And so she was like, hey, you know, you can still swaddle the babies. You can keep their hips free. There's all these swaddle blankets out there, you know, that allow you to do that. And when you keep their arms down, it prevents, you know, that startle reflex and he'll be able to sleep. That was such a game changer for us, friends. And one of the things she had mentioned to me was that like, hey, you know, like your questions the week you come home from the hospital are going to be different at week 2, week 3, week 4, week 6. And so I was really grateful that we scheduled visits at week 3 and week 6 because she was totally right. I had different questions around sleeping and eating and, you know, what her recommendations were about like, should we swaddle every time to nap? Like just all of those things. And so I really recommend, if you can, setting up a postpartum doula. One thing I wish I had done differently, and I think it would have honestly been a game changer and probably would have been so much better for my mental health and my overall health and well-being and Brandon's. I really wish I just scheduled my postpartum doula for nights. I look back and I literally am just like, no, Brandon, I can handle it. There's two of us. My goodness, friends, maybe you get really lucky and you get a baby that's, you know, can sleep, you know, those, you know, pretty good stretches at night, even though you should, I mean, you know, please talk to your pediatrician about how often you should be feeding. But looking back at it, if I could go back or if/when we decide to have a second baby in the future, I am 100% scheduling a postpartum doula for nights. I literally will pay, you know, the $60 an hour, you know, times eight, like book a postpartum doula literally 2 to 3 times a week, at least for the first month. Like I'm literally thinking, friends, if/when I have a second baby, I think I'm going to book a postpartum doula for the first 3 months and just like give that gift to me and like budget and save for that, like prior to having a baby. The lack of sleep, friends, when I tell you, friends, the delirium, the tears, I would literally call my sister crying, just like sobbing. I was just so out of sorts, you know. And when you don't get your sleep right, I think there's like, they say, if your like sleep is disturbed, or if you don't get adequate sleep for 30 days, you're considered clinically depressed. Please don't quote me that, friends. Like I cannot remember like the exact thing. We learned that, I think, in our labor and delivery classes, and our nurse in the labor delivery class was like, you need a minimum of 2-3 hour segments to like function as a person and like not be clinically depressed. And I was not getting that. Like I was like for a few weeks, I think I was just getting maybe 3 hours of sleep, maybe four, trying to get naps throughout the day. And like, I'm one of those people where I cannot like I can probably nap for like an hour, or I have to take like melatonin, then I could get a 3 hour nap. But for me, like naps are not like restorative sleep, if that makes sense. They're helpful. But I'm like one of those people where it's like, I cannot just like nap for 3 hours and be like, oh, that was like a night's sleep. It's just like not the same. So highly recommend, if it's in your budget, schedule a postpartum doula and just give yourself that gift and like book a minimum of like one night per week for the first month. Like you will literally, I just know for me, like now I'm at week 15, like Braxton was 15 weeks. He had his first 8 hour night. I didn't sleep, you know, straight 8 hours. I still had my dog waking me up. I still woke up at 2:30 when Braxton woke up and then he self-settled. But like, I'm just like a different person functioning, can make better decisions when I've had more than 6 hours of sleep. So that's one thing I would have done differently. Second thing I would have done differently, and this is around feeding. So again, this is for all the new parents out there. Our pediatrician and the lactation nurses, you know, found Braxton's tongue tie like immediately. It was a mild tongue tie. He had a great suck though. And so our pediatrician and the lactation nurses were like, actually, I don't think you need to release it. Looking back, I wish we had just released it when we found it, because what ended up happening was that I think we released his tongue tie week 8 or 9 or even 10. I can't even remember, friends. But we like waited to release his tongue tie because he had a great suck. But what we ended up finding out was that he was actually not taking in any more milk than he was like at week 2 or 3, or whenever we had that first lactation visit. We had like a follow-up lactation visit, and I think it was like maybe week 6, or maybe, yeah, it must have been like week 6. It's honestly a little bit of a blur, friends. But at that lactation visit, we did another weighted feed, and they were like, oh, he's only taking an ounce still. And so I don't know what it was, why it took me so long to finally like talk to Brandon, talk to our pediatrician, but we ended up deciding to get his tongue tie released, because at that point I was still triple feeding and it was so much, it was so stressful. Honestly, friends, like feeding was, besides sleep, it was just so, so much on me, and just like feeling all the guilt about like not being able to like feed him, you know, which was crazy because at the end of the day, like the goal is just to feed the baby. And we were still supplementing with a bottle and I was pumping enough milk to, you know, bottle feed him. And so anyways, we ended up deciding to do the tongue tie release. Our pediatrician was able to do that. It was a little bit I mean, for anyone who's gone through the process, you know, you feel really bad, especially in the moment when that happens. I've had friends go to a pediatric dentist and they released the tongue tie with a laser. Braxton, we just did it in the pediatrician office because it was such a mild tongue tie. Like she literally like physically snipped, you know, that tongue tie, which it sounds really horrible, but yeah, it was actually very quick. It was it was pretty bad. I felt really bad for like the first 24, 48 hours afterwards. Braxton was really upset, like for at least 24 to 48 hours. He was exhausted. He just like wanted to sleep. He had to relearn how to suck. But literally like I have my own scale at home because we ended up ordering one because we had all these like, you know, feeding and like weight concerns. And I was doing weighted feeds at home. And like within like a week or two, he started increasing his intake and he was taking like 2, 2.5. And then I've weighed him and he's like taken up to 3 ounces like from breastfeeding. And so releasing the tongue tie immensely helped with feeding. And I'm actually really glad that I gave myself the opportunity to like really give breastfeeding a chance. But it's funny, you know, going through this process because it's like, I look back and it's like, why did I just not do it earlier? But again, I think I was so sleep deprived. There was so much going on, so much stress around feeding. Again, the goal was for him to just like gain weight. So I felt like we kind of address his mild tongue tie a little bit later. But I've also had, you know, friends and family who've chosen to not do the tongue tie or not to release the tongue tie and just pump and bottle feed. That totally works. If that's what you want to do for your family, that's great. I've talked to one of my friends who did choose to release the tongue tie. And one of the things that I learned from her experience going to the pediatric dentist was that tongue ties are hereditary and they actually, like in the future, depending on the severity of the tongue tie, might lead to speech impairments. It might lead to like gum and teeth issues. And my dad and I already have gum issues. I have both, like it started happening at a young age. Actually, my gums were already receding. I've already had that like gum tissue surgery where they've had to like remove a piece of gum grafting. That's what it's called. Like I literally like had that done in like my mid-20s. And so I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Like Braxton, we already have gum issues in our family. Like I really don't want like this tongue tie to be any more, like to add any more issues. And so we decided that was like the best thing to do. So for you friends, you know, if you are having a baby, you know, in the near future, or you are experiencing like feeding issues, I would really recommend going to a lactation specialist and just like getting your baby's tongue evaluated, like seeing if that's a factor. And then that way you can like make a better informed decision for your family. All right, friends. So the third thing I wanted to chat about today about surviving the postpartum newborn period is that I wish that I knew that it was okay to put down the baby. You do not need to hold your baby like 24 hours a day. And it's just, I mean, if you want to, maybe if that brings you so much joy that you just want to hold your baby all the time, that's incredible. I'm so happy for you. That's great. But also know if you're someone like me who needs to eat a minimum of 3 meals a day, who needs to shower, who needs to, I just like, just need kind of like my basic things in my routine to like be a somewhat sane person, know that it's okay. And so as I'm recording this, it's week 15. And one of the things that's really worked for me after I, you know, Braxton gets up between 7:45 a.m. And after I feed him, I literally will like burp him, change his diaper, and then I put him in the bouncer for 10 or 15 minutes and I eat breakfast. I was not doing that for like the first 2 months. Like for some reason in my head, I was like, oh, like I can't eat until like he goes down for a nap. And so that was like really affecting like my health and well-being. And I realized I was like, I'm like a breakfast person. Like I have to have breakfast. I have to eat lunch. Like I have to eat dinner. And so just like realizing and then having like friends and family, like let me know. One of my mentors, Karen, actually like texted me and she was like, it's okay to put down the baby. Don't feel like you have to like hold him all the time. If you want to, that's fine. But like, no, you can still like put him down. And so I'm just like here to let you know that like, obviously, like when you have a newborn, like it is such a special time. You know, you want to, if you want to do contact naps all the time, do contact naps all the time. If you want to wear your baby, but also know you can give yourself permission to like put the baby down. It's okay. Like I actually, you guys are going to be like, why did you just start doing this? Or maybe you're going to be like, judge me the other way. But this week, I literally was like, wait, I can put Braxton in the bouncer literally for 10 minutes while I hop in the shower, like, so I can see him. Like, it's not like I, you know, there's still like, he's in the bathroom with me. I can put him in the bouncer. I can run, take a 5 minute rinse, right? Like, you know, and just do like my basic quick morning routine and then pick him up and then like we go and play. And so for me, like giving myself the permission to like put him in the bouncer, put him down for 5 or 10 minutes so I can eat has like helped me so much, because it's like now I can be like a functioning person. I've eaten, I've showered, you know, I'm hydrated. All right, now I'm here. We can play, like we can go on a walk, we can, you know, whatever, do tummy time, whatever we need to do. So, all right, friends. So I hope you enjoyed this Emma Diaries episode about surviving the postpartum newborn period. There might be a part two as I process and like remember and think back to like what I would have done differently. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please let me know. I love hearing from new moms out there. Love hearing how you guys are doing, especially, you know, for those new parents out there who are also, you know, pursuing their own creative careers. I am with you and I am rooting for you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, and recommend the podcast to a friend. If we haven't connected on Instagram yet, you can find us at Emma's Edition and at The Creative Edition. Sign up for our email newsletter and join our Facebook group, and we'll see you guys next time.